Philippians chapter 2, if you want to turn with me to that. I'm not going to read the whole chapter here, just the first maybe 11 verses. Just a little bit as we think of developing the character of God. As we read this, just keep that in mind. You know, it brings out the character of God, and as His children, that's what we strive to be like. You know, children have naturally the character of their parents, and as our God being our Heavenly Father, we also want those, we strive for those characters. Verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, that each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of his servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. A lot of characters of God. Look not every man on his own things, in verse 4. We know that Jesus did that. That was his character. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, as we develop that, you know, it's so important that our minds, what we feed our minds, because our minds dictate our actions and what we do. You know, the world has pretty well everything out there to offer our minds, to bend our minds away from things of God. But we need to think of things of God. Two chapters here in Philippians 4, there's one verse, verse 8. It tells us the things that our minds need to think on. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things. Those are the things that our mind needs to feed on, and then we'll develop the characters of God. And a few of these characters, you know, especially the one in verse 7, made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and to serve, to be a servant, is, you know, God himself. He was, him being made that low that he was a servant, and but he was a perfect example when he walked this earth. I believe God is far more interested in what we are than what we do. That's a statement that I came across, and I believe that's true. You know, God, what God cares most is whatever we do, not so much what we do. That's also important, but that we do it then in a Christ-like manner, which is our character. You know, we're called human beings, not human doings. We can take our character with us into eternity, but we can't take our career. There's a few things about serving that I came across, a few definitions of being the form of a servant that challenged me. I'm going to read those. First is just a little title to it. It says we serve God by serving others, and that's definitely true. The world defines greatness in terms of power, possessions, prestige, and position. If you can demand service from others, you've arrived. In our self-serving culture with its me-first mentality, acting like a servant is not a popular concept. Jesus, however, measured greatness in terms of service, not status. God determines your greatness by how many people you serve, not by how many people serve you. This is so contrary to the world's idea of greatness that we had a hard time understanding it, much less practicing it. And then a few definitions that I came across as I was looking for that. It says, real servants, and it was just a challenge to me, and just listen, real servants make themselves available to serve. Servants don't fill up their time with other pursuits that could limit their availability. They want to be ready to jump into service when called on, much like a soldier. A servant must always be standing by for duty. And also number two, real servants pay attention to needs. Servants are always on the lookout for ways to help others. When they see a need, they seize the moment to meet it, just as the Bible commands us. Whenever we have the opportunity, we have to do good for everyone, especially for those in the house of God, which is a verse. Number three, real servants are faithful to their ministry. Servants finish their tasks, fulfill their responsibilities, keep their promises, and complete their commitments. They don't leave job half undone, and they don't quit when they get discouraged. They are trustworthy and dependable. Number four, real servants do every task with equal dedication. Whatever they do, servants do it with all their heart. The size of the task is irrelevant. The only issue is, does it need to be done? And also five, real servants maintain a low profile. Servants don't promote or call attention to themselves. I believe these are very true. This is what we need. We want to. We strive to develop those. And developing the character of Christ and the character of service is something that we won't complete here. It's a lifetime endeavor. But it will be completed when we see Jesus in glory, because it says, there's a verse that says, when he comes, we will be like him. And that's the completeness of it. For we shall see him as he is. Praise God for that. Let's bow our heads for prayer. We thank you this morning for your greatness. We thank you that you are our Father. We thank you that you are in our midst this morning. Thank you for the privilege of just worshiping you, lifting our voices to thee in praise and worship. Just bless our gathering and just bless the word. We thank you that we can have your word so freely with us. And as we look into it and here in Hebrews, that as just a reminder again that you are the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. And you have done it all. You took our punishment. You took our place. And that we can, by faith and trust in you, be forgiven. We just thank you for that. Just bless the service. Bless each one of the teachers, the children. Each one can receive a blessing this morning. Praise all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we'll take up the morning offering. Let the ushers do that this time. I believe it's for the general school fund. If someone has a verse of song, go ahead and lead that out this time.